Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Shintaro Higashi Show with Peter Yu. Today, we're going to talk about how to learn judo online. That's like the new landscape of things, right?
Right.
That's what we got to do. Learn stuff online.
Yeah. And with the, you know, with the whole situation with the pandemic right now, the online judo content is becoming more and more important for us. And yep. And as with anything online, we need to consume them in a very healthy way, I guess.
That's absolutely right. There's so much stuff out there, just so much noise.
Yeah.
Right? We have to sift through all the debris and then really maximize our time online because you could spend all day.
Right.
And I've done this before. Go down the YouTube rabbit hole.
Right.
Yeah.
And as you guys know, you know, Shintaro has been doing YouTube himself, like creating content on there. So he knows all the, has a good idea of what's out there. So
yeah,
let's, why don't we start with the highlights? But the most, I feel like that's the most approachable and most popular type of content that people consume.
Yep.
So how should you approach that? Yeah.
You start off with judo highlights on YouTube,
right?
And then you watch some spectacular throws or whether it's BJJ highlights. And then you're like, oh man, this is amazing. I just recently started watching like Greco-Roman wrestling highlights.
I did.
Yeah. I love it. So it's like, I think you have to take it with a grain of salt. You know, you can't let it affect your expectations of actually doing the sport, right?
Right.
Because you don't want to be like, oh, this is what it's supposed to look like all the time, right? It's highlights for a reason. It's only a very, very small section, right? And a lot of the times you get two very, very close, skilled athletes, and then it's never going to look like that, right?
Right.
So you have to be... Right, you have to manage your expectations when you're watching highlights, but you have to use it as inspiration first and foremost.
Right.
That's what I get out of highlights. I'm like, man, this is amazing, and I get pumped when I watch it.
And the one thing to remember is that it's not a lot of those techniques they're not like high percentage techniques.
Yeah, I mean the high percentage stuff, the classic Uchimata, those Sotos, or something like this, right? They're, you know, they're great.
Yeah.
But there's a slew of ranges, right? Like, it's like, for instance, like, it's the classic, oh, I threw someone with a Sanagi in a tournament. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, was it standing Sanagi? It's like, no, I dropped to my knees. It was a drop Sanagi. And then people are like, oh. You know, like, Soto put that on, like, oh, you dropped to your knees and took, great. You know, it's like, no, I slammed him. It's like, was it a standing Sanagi?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. Oh. Right? It's kind of like that, you know, but like, yeah, you're absolutely right, man. You get some spectacular new technique that no one's ever seen before. And the likelihood of people getting it consistently is very low, but it makes the reels.
Right.
Right.
And also, it's kind of, I think the highlights you know, they don't show the whole context around it, like how the person even set up the throw.
That's a great point. Yeah.
And, you know, and also it doesn't show how the countless hours the athlete has put into, you know, whatever technique they're using for the highlight
for
reel.
Sure, yeah. For sure. So yeah, it's misleading.
Yeah.
For instance, I'll give you an example. Uchimata harai.
Right.
Okay. So Uchimata, guy or girl escapes the technique by sidestepping it to shift their center of gravity away from the lift. Right. So the person does it once early on in the match. Person does Uchimata again, second time, you know, middle of the match. And then the very third time or the fourth time, they're in that same position where the person's dominant position and they're looking like they're going to go blasting Uchimata. They go for Harai instead.
Right.
And that only that Harai Goshi is going to be on the highlight reel. So if you slow that highlight part down and be like, oh, how did this guy hit it so well? Right. You completely miss the context of like, oh, this has been being set up for the last, you know, 3 minutes. Things of that nature.
Yeah, right? I think it goes with any technique really. Like when I watch BJJ highlights, I think because I don't know the Newada techniques as well as some of the BJJ practitioners, I do miss a lot of that. Like sometimes I'm so amazed how they even set those like intricate, you know, strangles and.
Yeah.
But you miss all. It's not even just the setup right before. You're saying the whole match, like, oh, the person was probably setting up, like showing maybe like, you know, guard, arm bar, and then later go for the triangle choke the same way like you were setting it up with Uchimaras and then surprising with the Harai Goshi at the end.
Yeah, something like that, you know? It's hard to see and distinguish and understand when you're kind of just watching highlight reels, you know? And that's right. what the highlight reels are for. It's not really for, yes, it's for learning, mm-hmm. but most of the things I get out of it is just inspiration. Be like, wow, mm-hmm. man, I can't wait to go to the dojo and hit it on somebody.
Yeah, I know.
Do a highlight reel of my own, you know?
Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of students approach you and saying, hey, sensei, like, I've watched this crazy throw. Have you seen it? Like, can yeah. you teach me? Yada, yada, yada. What yeah. do you, how do you approach, like, what do you tell them usually?
I mean, a lot of the times my students tag me in stuff yeah. or show me some stuff, and then I'll just yeah. give them my honest opinion. You know, this yeah. is a high, right? There's a lot going on here. Like mm. I talked about context. I always talk yeah. about context, right? The context is this, context is that. Maybe mm. we'll watch the full match sometimes if I have the time and if I have the patience for that. Yeah. And then sometimes it'll just be something like this is only work, mm. right? Because X, Y, and Z.
Right, right.
You
know?
And a lot of the times it comes down to the individual athlete too. You mm. see some crazy athletic, like flying, whatever it is. Mm. And it's like, this guy is a phenom athlete. Right. And then, you know, you see students that are like, I want to do this. I want to do this. And you start drilling it and drilling it. It's like, yes, but this is one thing that they do. Mm. They have an entire system outside of this thing that they do. Right? Right. So they have a system here. They have the fundamentals here. And they have a couple of different surprise attacks. Mm-hmm. This is the stuff. This is like accessory stuff. This is like supplemental stuff to their main core attack system.
Right.
Right. So you can't go the opposite way and be like, all right, I'm just going to learn this thing and I'm just going to learn that thing and I'm going to learn that thing, because it's got to tie all together or you wouldn't have an effective fighting mm-hmm. system. Right.
Right.
Yeah. So I'll try to be, you know, concise about it and try to explain that as best I can.
That's an interesting point you brought up about like the actual body, like the whole system, including your how athletes' bodies, you know, works, and then.
Yeah.
The how these professional athletes build their own systems around it. Like, you know, I think Iliadis is a good example of that. He's such a freak of nature. A lot of the throws he does with, like, he can force through a lot of these throws with his shoulders all the way in the back.
But yeah, you have to have the shoulder mobility to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have the shoulder mobility, right? I can't bring my arm back that far and then be...
still strong to, like, pull through,
blow my shoulder out.
Yeah. So there's a lot of context around, like, that's missing from highlights, but it's good. They're a good source of inspiration.
Yeah, it's a source of inspiration, and it's great when you know somebody that's in it, and then you know send it to each other. And I've been on threads where, right, people are getting bombed, and I've made highlight reels myself where I'm the one receiving it. You know, and people sending me videos of that from back in the day, and you know, oh my god, you know. But it's good. You know, the highlight reel is a type of a content that you can consume to learn judo. I don't think it should be your primary thing. Maybe it's like, I don't know, 20% of it.
Right.
Depending on whether or not this stuff really motivates you and inspires you.
Right. So now, you watch all these highlight reels and then you're probably pumped up to take judo or BJJ or whatever grappling you want to do. And then you're drilling. And now you probably would move on to... how to do these moves.
Tutorials, boring. Oh man, yeah, tutorials.
There's you have a lot to say about that.
I do have a lot to say about that.
So what? Let's just start with like how to approach these tutorials, because there's some of the moves. You know, so they're the basic tutorials and they're the advanced tutorial. There's a whole range.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I think there's something to be said about these linear progression sort of learning systems that are available online, right? You learn this is the basics, and then it goes into these like mind mapping situations.
Right.
But you have to take all this stuff with a grain of salt, and this is coming from a person that creates a lot of this stuff myself, right? I have a Judo Fanatics series. I have like 6 DVDs out. I have YouTube videos out. I have lots of different stuff out there for purchase and mostly free for me, right? I like just putting stuff out there anyway. But a lot of the stuff I see out there, it's tough because a lot of it is noise too, right? Like I said, like you missing the context. I showed a reverse kata grumo the other day, right? It's like, how are you going to put that into your system is the biggest piece of it.
Right.
You know, it's like sleeve, cross collar. You have right tayo. You have sode. When the hand goes up, the hand goes underneath, you could do a reverse kata grumo, right? Maybe you do a collar drag, whatever. That's a good system. Okay, so now you learn this reverse kata grumo that works, that fits in the whole thing. And then you have to drill not just reverse kata grumo, but all the pieces surrounding it.
Right.
Maybe fake tayo and then go the right side, right? Or fake sode and then snap down, go cross collar osoto, and then if that doesn't work, now you go reverse kataguruma. Mm-hmm. Right? You have to drill that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So you only get a piece of it, and you don't understand the surrounding thing of it, and you can't really explain everything in one video.
Right, right, right.
Right? Because for every video that I make about reverse kataguruma, there's 20 other ones out there saying something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So they, would you recommend like just trying to watch as many different variations of tutorials of the same technique as possible? Or how do you, what do you think? Like, I guess my question is more about how do you kind of filter out the noise in a way?
Mm. You know, there's a saying in the watch buying world. I know you're into watches. I'm into watches, right?
That yeah.
You buy the seller.
Right, right.
Oh, buy the seller.
Yeah.
Right? And it's kind of something similar. If you trust an instructor and you follow them and they have a lot of stuff and they have a very positive consensus, then that's the person that you really want to go through, right?
Right.
Because there's so many people, thousands of people just putting stuff out there,
mm-hmm.
you know? And the intention might be different, right? Intention sometimes is just to sell video, put stuff behind a paywall, get them to sign up, and now, you know, you're on a subscription situation.
Right, right.
Right, so you have to know who your instructor is and you have to know what their style is like.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that's first and foremost. And then I would start by consuming someone, right? Like, from, you know, maybe it's me.
Right? Yeah.
And then you watch all my videos. And then, you know, you catch me on a good day. I will, if you ask questions through Instagram, like I will respond. Right. Mm-hmm. If you catch me on a good day.
Right.
Right. And that's a nice little thing because then you could ask, you know, and then I'll ask, hey, like, who's your teacher? And then you could have a dialogue going. And then the conversation's really where it's at, you know. And we talked a little bit about learning styles.
Right.
You know, that interpersonal learning, right? Because you can't just learn when I'm just talking at the camera and doing something that I do.
Right.
Might not be a fit for you, right? But you watch it, you watch all my stuff, you kind of understand where I'm coming from, my whole situation, my philosophies. Because I repeat myself all the time, right? System this, context that, right? Right side versus left side. You have to understand hand position, blah, 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 right? So now if they have specific questions after they watch all my stuff, now they could ask good questions. If you watch one video and you ask me a question like, hey, I noticed you did this with your left hand, what should I, like, I'm not answering that question.
Yeah.
Because you're not asking the right question. You don't even know that you're asking the right questions.
Right, right.
So you buy the seller, right, which is like you find the teacher that you like, watch all their stuff. And then you can reach out to them and then ask them smart questions.
Right, right.
Right? And then you have a dialogue with your teacher and say, hey, I've been following this guy and he said this. Like, what do you think about that? And then being as respectful as possible, right? Because you could always find someone that does something better than, you know, your teacher online.
Right, right.
Just
nature
of online,
right?
Happens to me too. It's like I'm teaching an armbar or something. It's like, hey, you know, I saw so-and-so jiu-jitsu, whatever, doing this armbar. I'm like, oh, yeah, great, you know? I don't know, right? Sometimes I just don't know.
Oh, that's yeah, you need to be very tactful, I guess, because, you know, it's, you don't want to be disrespectful to your teacher and then just kind of say, hey, I don't, you know, point them out. Because it's not that your teacher might be like wrong. It's that it just, there's a lot of variations and then, you know, your teacher might do it differently.
Lots of variations, right? And then now with the internet, like, I wish I had YouTube watching, you know, growing up doing judo, right? I was forced to buy, you know, the world championship DVDs, right? And then trying to decipher and figure it out. And then the instructional DVDs that they had back in the day were very low quality. I even had VHS tapes, right? And very difficult because you can't slow anything down. It's like you forward and backwards and rewinding. And it was just horrible, experience. So now you have a slew of information, right? And you have to learn how to kind of decipher it and sift through the noise. And that really does come with having sort of that teacher, right? Can you theoretically learn everything you can on paper about judo techniques online? Yeah. You could watch all the videos ever created from judo. You could do that.
Right, right.
Will you be able to do any of it? No. Will you be able to make sense of all that information? Probably not. Right. That's why you still need a dojo. That's why you still need sort of a guide, a teacher.
Right. So you can utilize your teacher, consult, like, it's kind of like, yeah, this is like a supplemental material. And then your teacher can kind of help you suss through all the noise in the beginning. So I think, so as a, you know, if you are advanced enough, then you can kind of watch the video yourself and kind of tell, oh, this tutorial is not good for, it doesn't fit my system and whatnot. So you don't have to like pay too much attention to it. But then when you're a beginner, you have like everything is new and everything may fit your system. You can't, you just don't know. So
just don't know.
Other than consulting your teacher, like, is there something they can do by themselves as the beginners to like, cause you suggest that you should probably watch a lot of, pick a content creator, like a tutorial maker, and then watch a lot of the videos and then try to formulate smart questions from them. But there's a lot of content
to watch.
Yeah. Tons. Even on your channel. So any concrete steps you suggest to beginners to like what kind of videos should they watch first?
Hmm.
Right. Yeah.
Any sort of basics, you know, Shintaro Higashi, basic judo system.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an obvious plug here.
Right.
But it doesn't have to be that. You know, it could be anything really. You know, everyone has a different learning style. We talked about this last time.
Right. Right.
And one of the biggest things I think is important when you're watching videos and stuff like this is being able to speak the language. And we spoke about programming language when we spoke about your PhD.
Yeah.
But that's huge, right? You're hearing all the terminology all the time, right versus right, osotogari, lapel hand, sleeve hand, you know, all this stuff, advantages and transitions to niwaza, and right? Once you have that sort of language and you could hear it, right? Then you could think it, right? And now when you're thinking about it, it makes sense because you could verbalize it.
Right, right.
Right?
And
so
then,
those things are very important. And then so starting off with the basics to be able to build that fundamental knowledge of the language is huge.
Right.
So I recommend that. Any sort of basics program, right? And if you're talking specifically judo, there's a couple of people who already create that kind of they already have that product.
Right, right.
Know, me being one of them. You could also reach out to me on Instagram, right? Judo Shintaro NYC. And then I might send you a couple links or something like that. You got to catch me on a good day, though, because sometimes I'm busy.
Yeah.
Right?
And he's popular online a lot.
Really popular. Yeah. These days, it's kind of growing, and, you know, thanks to you and all that.
Yeah. Cool. So, yeah. So what you want to do is build up the vocabulary and then think about them and then practice them so that you can formulate good questions. And then...
Yeah.
You can be, I guess, more pointed, more direct in your search for tutorials. You know, if you have specific questions now because you've tried it, you can actually, you know, Google that specific point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you something that I'm doing right now. It's like I've been watching, like, man, I always watch highlights and stuff.
Right.
You know? And YouTube knows this about me, so they're constantly pushing this sort of stuff. And then I've been really getting into like watching like Mongolian Naidam wrestling highlights and stuff. And then, you know, I was watching that, and then I went down the rabbit hole and, you know, watching chimpanzees fighting other chimpanzees and like snapping turtles, feeding and stuff. And then I circled back around to like Greco-Roman wrestling highlights, and there was this like lift off the ground. You know, it's like a gut wrench lift.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They do this spiral throw.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool, right? So I was like, oh man, I gotta learn that. And I was like, I went on YouTube and I was like, all right, tutorials for gut wrench spiraling throw, and not too many good ones. Not many good ones at all, right? So now I'm kind of like tempted to like figure it out, you know, which I've wrestled, right? So it's I can probably figure it out and then make it, you know. That's kind of exciting. And that sort of highlight reel, because I watched the highlights,
right?
Highlight reel, I like that. Let me watch the tutorial for it. What is that thing? And the beauty of it is in the comment section, people are like, what is the name of this technique? You know, people do that stuff.
Right, and they'll always tell you.
Yeah.
And the whole discussion.
It's a Delahiva. And then it's a Della Riva. It's like, what is a Della Riva? And then you like type that, and then people are like, okay, this is my Delahiva. And I'm like, oh, that's how it's pronounced.
Right, right.
Now you're speaking the language. Now you're watching the tutorial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can watch it in slow motion. That's the thing about jiu-jitsu. You can watch everything really slow.
Right, right.
In judo, it's instantaneous.
Right, right.
The thing you don't see about these throws is that a lot of it is balance-based. You don't see the balance part.
Right, 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 right.
The person doing the throw is on balance the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So when you watch it, trying to learn it, go trying it at the dojo, it's like, why can't I do this thing?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it has to just do with your balance. If you're losing balance, you can't really... do the throw, because you can't apply force throughout the movement.
Right.
If you're trying to catch your balance, right?
It's going back to the whole idea of the context, like taking into everything.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can get inspired by the highlight reels. Yeah. And then, you know, then you can go into the tutorials on those techniques, and then you have to try them. Like you've mentioned, has to be interactive. You have to try them and formulate questions.
You have to try it slowly. Slowly. Yeah. I can't stress this enough. Right. Nothing drives me crazier than like, dude, I saw this crazy, like, no-handed Kataguruma backflip. Like, can I try this on you? The guy goes in and starts ripping. Like, you know the Molale?
Which one is that?
You know, Saeed he's the former Iranian.
Oh, okay, yeah. Mongolia. Yeah.
He does like a double sleeve, like both arms trapped under the armpit, and throw. That's crazy dangerous if you, right? But that's crazy dangerous.
Right. You have to take it slow. Yeah.
You have to take it slow. Guys are going to see that online, come into the dojo and try it full force, put their own neck at risk, put their opponent's neck at risk, right?
Right.
Super dangerous. So it's like something like that, you got to really take it slow. You know what I mean?
Don't try them right away in your randori or, you know, rolling session.
Joint locks are different because you could apply them really slowly.
Right.
Especially if they're cooperative, you could slowly be like, does this hurt? Does this feel, you know, whatever it is. But like a throw, it happens fast.
Yeah.
You're up in the air. You have both opponents, their arms binded. They could land on their head really easily. Mm-hmm. Right. So all these different things. You have to understand the mechanics of the throw.
Mm-hmm.
And you could understand it visually, but as you're doing it, right, as you're feeling the mechanics of the technique, some techniques you can't really go slow, like the uranage, the back arch.
Right.
Taught at the dojo the other day. It's like you lock the belly, going back and arch and taking the person over. Like there comes a tipping point where gravity just takes over.
So yeah, you have to take the momentum and push through, yeah.
Yeah, and then the person's elevated in the wrong way, going down in the wrong projectile, like they're going to land on their head. Right.
It's
so like, how do you account for that? How do you teach it safely? You know, and it's a tough one, uranage. That's why I don't teach it to the general population of my class.
Right.
I'll teach it to the you know, not the better ones, but the people who can do it.
Yeah.
The more advanced students.
Yeah.
I'll teach it. You know, you've been in the room when I taught
it. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So, you got to, the general approach should be just take the safe approach about tutorials, you know.
Yeah.
Right. So now you've watched highlights, you're pumped, you watched some tutorials, you know the basics now, and now you're like really into the whole grappling art, and you're watching the matches, the whole thing, and you try to see the context. some of the matches, because you have to understand these athletes are so evenly matched sometimes, it's just everything going on, you know, it's hard to see from...
Dude, it's ridiculous how... you know, you're watching a judo match and most people have no clue. And
you're right.
I was like that too. You know, I was usually seeking out
the big throws. Yeah.
The big throws. Like, when is it going to throw? When is this guy going to throw something? Fast forward. Like, oh, there it is. And then I'll like watch that part over and over, try to figure out how he did it.
Right.
You know, something like I was watching judo the other day too, right? And you have to have this kind of analytical mind a little bit when you're watching matches.
Right.
So something as simple as right side versus right side, right? This hand protecting this hand sleeve. The guy's going sleeve, lapel, right? Sleeve, lapel. And then it just looks like this thing. They're just like kind of slap fighting. He's defending over here.
Right.
And then sleeve, lapel. And then the person coming to the lapel side and he cuts across and blocks and then goes over the back over here. Something like that. It's like, if you know, you're like, oh, wow. Right?
Right.
And then it's like playing the drums because the person's going sleeve. And then every time he goes for the sleeve and pulls back, he's misdirecting the lapel. But he's fully aware that this right side is being attacked as well. So he's defending, right? So it's like attack, defend. And then he defends on the opposite side with the hand that he was attacking. It was like an instantaneous quick switch. You know, like that's not fun for 99% of the people.
Right.
It's not fun for me. You know?
And you just have... It's hard to see those because they happen so quickly. And then you wouldn't know unless like you do... that kind of grip fighting in real life too. Yeah.
And the problem with watching something like that is attention span. A lot of times I have zero attention span, you know, attention span is very, very limited. And something like that is very, very, very important when you're looking at throwing someone, because now all of a sudden the person has a deep over the back grip, right? And they have a huge, you know, turn throw, right? But they can only really throw from back here. And that one shot that they got it, like maybe they throw a huge Koshigurum or something and it's like, oh, right? It's that precursor thing the checkboxes that are necessary in order to make that throw work.
Right, right.
Right? So, you know, a lot of this like focus and where to watch, what to watch, what is actually going on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to read in between the lines. You know right. what I mean? And it's super boring. Like I can't do it for more than, and it took me a very long time to develop this sort of skill of watching the match and
right.
understanding what is actually going on.
So what are the, some of the specific things you do when you watch now that you like the analytical thinking, like, because so before you thought you found them boring, but you developed a way.
It's still boring to me.
Oh, it's still boring.
Yeah, super boring.
So but you don't. You know, yeah. What do you? What do you usually do? That, though, like, is you have to. You do watch them.
So I do watch it.
Yeah,
I do watch it. And you know, it took me a very long time to sort of naturally develop this lens now. So when I do watch a judo match, it's like I understand, and then I could watch it, and it's automatic for me almost.
Right. Right. Right.
And my natural inclination is like, oh, just watch the throw.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's really no different than me watching the highlights.
I usually do that, right? Yeah,
maybe. Yeah. So I force myself, if I really want to figure something out, it's like, why did this move work? I have to go back to the whole match and watch the whole match.
Mm-hmm. I see, you know what I mean? See.
Yeah. So then, like, if I'm really trying to figure something out, then I'll do it.
That, I guess that's more like the guided approach we've been talking about, where you try these things yourself, try to integrate this particular throw in your system. And then, like you said, a throw can only happen when you take into account the whole context. So now you go to the matches where this throw was used.
Yeah.
And then you look for the cues up that leading up to the throw that you're working on. So that will make things more less boring, more fun even. Yeah.
And then you have to build it from the beginning up, right?
Right.
Because now all of a sudden you're watching it, and then it's, let's just say, for instance, you're watching it, and then it's, I figured it out. I tried it at the dojo. I'm working out with Peter, and then I'm watching this thing, and he's doing it this way, and I'm trying to do it, but I can't really do it. And then it's like, I just don't know why. And it's something as simple as me doing it to you, Peter, right side versus right side. On the video, it's a right side going against a lefty player.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're not giving the same sort of cues that are available to actually hit the technique.
Right, 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 right.
So starting with watching the entire match, okay, who's right side, who's left side, right? Mm. And sometimes it's not clear cut because they switch, right? Mm. And some of the best athletes in the world do maybe 60% righty, 40% lefty, and they have preferences.
Mm.
So understanding that sort of a situation.
Right.
Understanding the gripping schemes, the opening gamut to like where they're putting their hands on first. Is it a off the grip attack, right? What is the timing of this move?
Mm-hmm.
Is it when the person disengages with one hand and then it's a one-handed attack, or is it a two-handed attack?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And what are the assumptions that the opponent is making for the technique to work?
Mm-hmm. Right. All the fake.
Yeah, maybe there's feints, right? What are the... Yeah, so if the person gets bombed in one direction, it's like, why did he get bombed? It can't be as simple as the person just grabbing him, pulling him in that direction and taking him.
Right, right.
Maybe the person's like, oh, I know this guy does a tomonage. He's unbelievable at the tomonage.
Mm-hmm.
So watch out, watch out. Like, for instance, Takato.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He does that koichi that's spectacular.
Right, right.
Right? He does koichi spectacular. Right side versus left side. He blocks that shoulder. He moves sumi. Moves sumi, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he moves in the same spot for the sumi. And as soon as you're resisting back onto your heels and pull your shoulders back to resist that sumi, he switches to the koichi.
Right, 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 right.
It's not even like he switches koichi. He just goes for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like... So the person who's just watching that koichi, it's like, that's an amazing koichi. Let me try it at the dojo.
And it doesn't work.
If the person, if the person's not reacting to that sumi,
right,
it's not going to work. Which means you need to develop a sumi.
Right.
And if your opponent's never seen a sumi before, they're not going to know how to defend it.
Right. So it's
which means, so there's a lot going on there. So now, is it really worth trying to learn that one koichi?
Mm-hmm.
It's not. Because you have to be in a right side versus left side setting. You have to have a sumi gaeshi, right? That's a threat enough to instill a reaction. Your opponent has to know how to defend that sumi properly and intelligently.
Right.
And now you're exploiting that person's reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So is it worth really learning that? No.
Right.
Not at all. Like, it's too specific. Maybe your dojo has no lefties.
Right. Oh, man.
That's who you're going to do it to, you know?
Yeah.
So you're going to spend all your time and effort drilling something, right? And... That was a great example of the Takato coach.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, I'm proud of myself for that one.
Yeah, I mean, he's amazing. Like you said, you have to remember the whole context, why he does that. And then things get very specific. And also, you shouldn't get discouraged by the, like, when you try to integrate the coach into your system and it doesn't work in Randori at your dojo, you shouldn't get discouraged, because you might be missing some of the key, you know, the key points and precursors.
That's the hardest thing about judo, because you're trying to do this coach, you're trying to make the shape of it, right? You need the actual reaction for it to be proper, right? It's got to be time perfect. It's a timing oriented technique a lot of the times, coachy.
Right.
Meanwhile, this guy's trying to throw you.
Right. Yeah.
And you need your balance to be able to throw anybody. And then the entire game is the other person trying to take your balance. Right. So think like you're trying to throw a baseball really hard, right? And
right.
You're standing on a surfboard and the thing's going, right? It's like you're kind of trying to throw the ball, but like the surfboard's going, like you're surfing.
Right, so right.
You're like constantly thinking about your balance. Like, how are you going to apply a lot of force, right? Where you're sort of on this like unstable place. And that's what it's like, you know?
Right, right.
That's what makes it so tricky.
I think that made me just think, you know, I don't know if you've gone rock climbing. I know, you know, Eugene, your cousin Eugene does it a lot. And in rock climbing, they call these the configuration of the wall like a problem.
You know,
there's like a different colors that you have to follow, right? They call it a problem, and they say they're working on a problem instead of like, I'm climbing. So I guess in a way, you should approach all these videos and whatnot in that way. Like, you're trying to, when you're doing judo, you're trying to solve this problem of how do I throw the other person with this technique? And you have to kind of...
You can, right? And you're right. But some people, that's not their style. Some people, they're just big, strong, athletic, and they just want to muscle through. That's okay. Some people are just intuitive athletes, right? And that's sometimes better. You know, for me, I was sort of an intuitive style. I couldn't explain any of the stuff that I did for a very, very long time. It wasn't until after I started teaching and people started asking me questions that I realized I didn't know how to answer them. And that's what led me to like figuring a lot of this stuff out to be able to teach. And I think that was
interesting. You know,
huge. Yeah. So similarly too, like some people are just great athletes, right? Some people just want to go in and stand and bang. That's great. You know, and if that's what works for you, that works for you, right? You don't need to have this sort of analytical mind and learn this and that. And some people just don't need that.
Right.
So that's, it just comes down to your learning style, right? And then it comes down to your teacher too, right? Does the teacher know your learning style? Like, if you're very analytical, you know, I got students that are just, I don't want to say dense, but they're dense. You know, they don't want to understand and learn the fundamentals and this and the systems, and they just want to go work out. And I'll gladly teach those guys in a way that's suitable for them, right? A lot of times those guys are like, hey, sensei, let's work out. Okay, let's do rounds. And they're just scrapping.
That's how they learn. Like, they got to feel it out with their bodies.
Yeah. And when they say, how did you do that thing that you did? Right. If I get into like, oh, the right first right, the sleeve, this, and I set it up that, I'm going to lose them.
Right.
Right. So it's like, this is how I did it here. And then I went for it, you know, and then something I'm as simple as that. So I really do cater. I try to, at least.
Yeah.
You know,
nice.
So yeah, the match analysis stuff, if you could sit down with a very, very knowledgeable person and then watch it together, that's really huge.
Right. Because you see a lot of, those are some of my favorite videos on your channel, like the Randori commentaries, not just because I'm in it, but you know, even it's just, you see a lot of things that even I miss, you know, and the things you see, like the trained eyes see, is pretty crazy.
The problem with that type of video, first of all, it takes a very long time to make.
Right.
Maybe not, you know, for me, because I have no editing skills. But the problem with those kind of videos, it doesn't fare well from a...
Popularity?
Right? Popularity standpoint, People are always asking for it, but whenever I post it, it's like not that popular. People don't want to watch that.
Right.
People want a quick, like, hey guys, what's going on? This is how I do my tomonage. Boom. This is the other way. These are the reactions you might see. Here it is. This is me throwing George twice. Boom, boom. All right, guys. See ya.
Well, for those of you who want more of those videos, you know, watch all those videos so that, you know, it shows on the data, I guess. So that Shintaro, it's worth for Shintaro to spend more time on him.
That's right. No, but seriously, though, right? I mean, like, I might get something out of something like that, but not everyone gets out of, you know. That's, and it takes time and mind energy to, like, sit down and watch that and listen to it and digest it. Like, it takes effort.
Right. You know? You probably have to watch the same thing, same match, Randori round, like, over and over again, try to,
Yeah, and I have to be, like, in the mood for it, too, right? To consider it. Highlight reels are easy. That's like, it's like judo porn almost. Yeah. Like, you just watch it, you veg out, like, oh, look at this guy throwing tayo. That's amazing. I'm going to do this to somebody. You know, you visualize you being in it.
Instagram is so bad for me like that because it'll just show you everything, like the judo throws and wrestling throws and BJJ submissions, and I could just slide through like
forever,
swipe
forever.
All forever.
Anyway, you follow Justin Flores, J Flow?
No, I try not to follow these big accounts because I feel like my whole feed, I wouldn't be able to get out of, like, stop watching these.
Yeah.
But you follow them? I mean, I'm sure you follow all the big ones.
Not all of them, but I have a couple of favorites.
Yeah.
Right? I have a couple of favorites that, you know, they have to win me over for me to follow them, though.
So let's kind of go into that now. Like, now that we talked about how to digest these different types of content online. So what are some of the things, like specific accounts that you might recommend, like, or some of the ways you might want to, you can, people can use to find these types of content? Like, for highlights, what do you recommend?
I like the IJF stuff, right? Because, you know, I have my biases towards it. You know, international judo competition scene, like, it's this unified thing globally, right? And then it's just an incredible thing. You know, so anything IJF produces, and people take videos from that. I can't remember off the top of my head, but yeah, they have that. Yeah. And
they've upped their
you
game.
You can find it, you know, just they're big time with big their time. Content and online presence and stuff like that. Now they're flagging people on YouTube for copyright stuff too, because I think they want to control a little bit more of what's out there.
Right.
They just don't want people coming in, clipping it, just making whatever.
Right, right.
You know, and they want to have a little bit of, I guess, quality control or
makes sense. Yeah.
So
I see. So all the IJF produce highlights, and then I think the stuff on Instagram, they're like the snippets of the, you know, matches and whatnot. They're pretty good. Like, to get inspired.
One of my favorites is like the road to the finals or something like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Those are fun.
That way I could see, you know, who they beat. You know, and it's like, I don't have to go back check the brackets or something like that and see, you know, oh, this guy beat this in the quarters. Oh, that's a tough match for a final match. You know, like, oh, he got beat in the semis. Sorry, that's cool. You know, what did he beat him with? And, oh, it's tayo, whatever. You know, and like, I kind of like that. You know, it's an easy way for me to, like, stay kind of involved and understanding the currentness, I guess, of the judo. Because I don't really follow it that closely. I should.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I should. I'm just not a sports watching person. I'm a sports doer.
You are.
Right? You know, like, I watch the Super Bowl, but that's it.
Yeah.
I don't really follow football. I don't, you know, the Yankees, this and that. I'm like, you know, I'll go to a game sometimes and, you know.
I see what you mean. And
Same with judo.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a judo junkie, but I don't watch it. Really, I see. I don't watch it.
And what about, you mentioned Justin Flores. What were we going to say about him?
Justin Flores is spectacular.
Yeah.
Right? He's a Division I wrestler, right? A top judoka. And, you know, some people say, like, he's the best judo guy that didn't make it the Olympic team, right? Because he should have, in my opinion. He was one of the best, very best. He was a leading judoka for a very, very long time. And as I was sort of coming into the circuit, he was already established, right? So he's Keenan Cornelius's judo coach.
Cornelius
is like a jiu-jitsu guy.
Right.
He's pretty famous.
Yeah, right? I've heard of him. Yeah.
Yeah, Keenan Cornelius is the warm guard guy.
Yeah, yeah. You
know? He's the guy that says, not Brazilian jiu-jitsu, American jiu-jitsu, right? And he has his dojo out, Asian jiu-jitsu or whatever it is. And no, he's just a famous guy, famous jiu-jitsu guy, and he has a partnership, I guess, with Justin Flores. Justin teaches judo out of there. And Justin creates cool, cool, cool content. He has a whole website and this and that. But the thing he does really well is he'll show like a 20-second clip of him doing like a really cool thing. Like, oh, you know, sweep single, come up to the body underhook, Ochi into Taiyo. Boom, boom. Fast. And it's almost like, it's not a tutorial, right, what he does on Instagram. But it's like a showcase of like a quick combination. And it's beautiful. I love it. And he does the slow motion stuff sometimes. And he's got crazy amount of followers for a judoka. Right, not for like an Instagram model. Those girls. That's another planet. Right. But for a judo grappler, right, he has a lot. He has a huge following.
I see. So, and then you get inspired by those quick clips, the highlight reel type of deal.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is like him putting that stuff out there and people tagging each other and a lot of eyeballs are on it. And then he sells a system like, hey, if you guys want to learn the J-Flow system, Justin Flores, he called, people call him J-Flow.
Okay.
Justin Flores. And it's kind of sounds pretty cool. You know?
He's got the name
very
for it.
Flowy. Yeah, he has very flowy style. He has unbelievable tomonage. Great wrestling.
I see.
You know, all that stuff. So, yeah, he's using Instagram to, you know, push his system, right?
I see.
And yeah, that's definitely something that I suggest watching, you know?
Nice.
American Judo System is another one that Jimmy Pedro and Travis Stevens are doing now, right? It's like a subscription-based judo thing, and they do coaching, online coaching. They do this and that. And,
right.
And then a lot of their Instagram and the YouTube stuff that they do is built and geared towards pushing that.
I see. Yeah. So that they will put out... I follow Travis, and he puts out like this... quick tutorials and highlights and whatnot. So let's kind of move on to the tutorial side. Obviously, you will put out great content, great tutorials on YouTube. Maybe plug yours a little.
You know, I have a YouTube channel, guys. If you're listening to this, you probably already know this.
Right. So that your channel, and then it's any other good tutorial content creators you've seen?
Judo-wise or...
Yeah, judo-wise. Well, I think we can also talk about like BJJ or wrestling in general. Yeah.
Truthfully, man, I've been really pushing this guy, Brian Glick. He's my...
Right.
He teaches me BJJ and I teach him... I've been teaching him judo for a long time. And we kind of have this thing. We just literally... It's like we get 2 hours together and then I teach him... I work out with him for judo for an hour and he does jiu-jitsu with me for an hour.
Yeah. I love his teaching style. I've seen some of, you know, some of the videos you put out on your channel. Like, he teaches the jiu-jitsu, BJJ.
He's great, man. Yeah. He is spectacular. He's concise. He's clear, right? He's eloquent. Everything about him I like. His YouTube channel went from literally probably like 80 subscribers to like 5,000 in the span of like the last like 5 months or so.
Oh, he just started.
I just started.
Oh, okay. I see.
And a lot of it was like me too. Like, we're working out on a weekly basis, right? And then I'm like talking to him about my YouTube stuff. And I'm like, dude, you got to do it. You got to do it. You know, and I'm like trying to talk him into it. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, I'll do my best to help you, you know? So, and I like his teaching style. I really do. It's like mine, you know, it's concise, it's clear. If I say so myself. So check out Brian Glick's YouTube channel. Like, if you're watching this, he's great.
Nice.
Great instructor.
Right. Nice.
Yeah.
So,
it's a beautiful thing, man. The YouTube. It's like, honestly, man, because if there wasn't such a YouTube thing, like, I would just be confined by the walls of the dojo.
Right. Yeah.
The only way to learn from me is within the dojo. And, you know, with the pandemic, it's like, even that's very restricting. You know, people just don't understand.
Right.
Now people watch my YouTube videos, like, I like his teaching style. Right. I like the way he, you know, talks about the stuff, like, he's legit. I'm willing to come in and pay for a private. Now we're only doing privates, something like this.
Right.
You know, and it really expands my horizon, and it really gives me validation when people watch and they're like, oh, this guy's pretty good.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel good. You know, I don't like the comments when they're like, oh, Higashi got fat or you know, all this stuff.
Why people
like,
say that?
You know, if I gain weight, people will mention
Come on. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, but why wouldn't they? You know, it's a YouTube, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess. You're
online,
like,
you know?
So. I mean, it's a scary, it could be a scary world, you know, the YouTube channel, I guess. Well, yeah, I mean, not only the, like, people in America, I see the comments. I always check the comment section of your videos. is that, yeah. And then some people from like I think like Argentina or Chile, like
they're really global.
Yeah, and they like asking you to translate and then like put the subtitles on, whatever. And it's amazing how now you're like
it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I really like it.
Cool. So yeah, you take advantage of all this content on YouTube, guys. Brian Glick and of course Shintaro. Yeah. How about in terms of matches and analyses? I know you mentioned the IGF content. Like they put out, they have a whole huge channel where they actually live stream a lot of the tournaments.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. All those tournaments are live stream. You could do like mat one, mat two. Mm-hmm. And sometimes like I'll catch like, you know, the Grand Slam happens four times a year and it's happening and they're live streaming it. And it's like, oh man, like the time zones fit perfectly. And I have a little bit of downtime and I happen to be in front of my computer and I see that it's going, then I'll watch it. Mm-hmm. Right. I'll check the brackets and I'll be like match one, you know, or mat two or whatever it is. Mm. And that's great. You know, and I think that's something. And, you know, if it's a world championships, I'll try to make time for, you know, a couple of the days, usually like weight classes that are near my weight class.
Right.
Just because a lot of the competitors that I competed against are still there, right? So it's like, I like seeing that, you know? It's like, oh, well, what would have happened if I would have stuck out, you know? Right, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's pretty cool. That's something that I do recommend. You know, but some people aren't visual spectators like this. It's sport.
Yeah.
You know, you can't force yourself to do it. You know, like I tried to get into watching football.
Yeah.
So many times just because all my buddies were doing it. You know, my buddies were watching football and talking about it, and this and the draft and what is the thing that they do, fantasy football. Like I tried it. I did it for like 3 or 4 years. It was like pulling teeth. Couldn't get into it. So getting on there, like, all right, this quarterback, I got that guy, swap him out. And like, oh boy, this is stupid.
I've got one league. I don't even watch football, but I just play fantasy football with my friends just because.
Yeah, it's a social thing to do.
Yeah, and I don't. I usually just follow whatever recommendation the system makes for me.
I don't even put up that charade anymore.
Do you when you watch matches? So what I do is I have like some of my favorite judokas. Like I will always watch Ono Shohei. Of course, An Chang-nim. You know, a lot of the Korean judokas I follow. So I try to watch their matches. Do you have like favorite judokas besides the ones that you actually compete against? Like, do you have someone that like you're a fan of this judoka, so to speak, or do you like that approach? You don't.
I do like that approach. Yeah. I like Ono. I think he's just in the right weight class and he's amazing. You know, so I like watching him. I really do. I like his style, right? But I won't seek him out just to watch his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, man. A lot of it for me is convenience. You know, time is of the essence with kid and this and that. Can I spend every, you know, watching judo all day and every day? Like I probably, actually, I don't know if I can, but like I could do that. Right.
Right. Right.
And it'll be endless. You know, will I get a lot out of it? Probably not. You know, there's so many ways that I'm getting my, you know, value out of judo already. Right. I don't need all this other stuff and it's really not going to help my overall judo at this point, I think.
I see.
Just watching up in the watch time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, to answer your question, yeah, I like Ono. I love seeing some of the unknown guys coming through the ranks.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah.
Love that. Love that. It's like, hey, this guy's, you know, and they don't really have like announcers like this. You know what I mean? Like if you're watching international tennis, the announcer is different. You know, their story, you know, their family. There's his girlfriend in the crowd, you know, like, this guy just had a kid 2 months ago. You know, he's recovering from an MCL sprain. And like, you get to hear the whole thing, right? But judo's not really like that. You know?
Right.
But it's like when I do see a young kid from a country, he's like the fourth in their country or something, and he limped into an international tournament. No one knows him.
Right, right. And then
he gets through the first round, the second round, the third round, he beats an Olympian, the fourth round, whatever, right? And I'm like, whoa, who is this guy? Let's keep an eye on this guy in the future.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a cool, yeah.
Yeah, I saw a drop of Uchi the other day, like I have never seen. It's like, I understood it in theory.
You mean like
this type of a,
on your knees and you push through? Oh, I think I've seen that one just now.
This guy took a back step, dropped to his knees, not like into the person, like a drop of Uchi.
Uh-huh.
But he like pulled him, took a drop to his knee, like backward step onto his knees as if he was doing I don't even know, right?
But yeah.
And then he just like clipped it and the leg was coming. I was like, oh my God, I've never seen that before.
This guy created creativity, some of these.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, that's great. Yeah. And I was thinking to myself, like, oh, Luke is going to be like, hey, Sensei, can you show me that?
Oh, God. Luke has one of the more physical learner, is he? Isn't he?
Yeah, he's super physical. Yeah. And he watches a ton of stuff online.
I see. He keeps up with everything. Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably listening right now. he's gonna be good. I'm gonna take him to the youth nationals.
Oh, okay. Year. Yeah. Next month. Yeah, I know. I remember going against him, man. He always gave me a run for the money.
Now tough he's guy. Another. He's yeah. different now.
Oh yeah, he's gotten a lot better.
Oh yeah.
I probably can't keep up with him now.
Yeah, you haven't been training.
I know. I'm curious. Yeah, I like seeing, you know, all the teenagers we had at the dojo. You know, it's good to kind of like what you said about these new athletes coming up. You know.
Yeah.
You know, Tara. Yeah,
they're hungry. Like, yeah, they want to learn.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And it's good, man, because the older I get, the better I get at teaching. I think. Mm-hmm. I hope so. Mm. And I'm always trying to adjust my teaching methods. So.
Right.
Right, and they get a sort of a better version of me. Mm-hmm. You know. Until I stop caring when I'm like 55 years old. I'm sure that'll eventually happen, right? I mean,
yeah. Well, then by the time you get there, you probably have a pupil that could, you know, take
yeah,
over.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Maybe the crop of guys now that are going to succeed. Right. Maybe those guys are like, Sensei, I got you.
Yeah. Right.
I'll teach your 7 o'clock or whatever it is. And
the Shintaro.
Someone's like, yeah, Sensei, can you show me an Osoro? I'm like, oh, Jesus, Osoro again. Right? And then maybe some of these guys could take in and like, yeah, I got it. I'm like, oh, right. good. You know?
The Shintaro Higashi system. I'll carry the flag.
Yeah. Or maybe my daughter would be teaching.
Yeah, that would be so cool. I love that.
She wants.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Cool. So how about Duke? And is like, do people do analyses on these matches? I guess
sometimes.
Like, do you have any recommendations?
I tried to do like Abe. What is it? Abe Maruyama.
Maruyama match. Oh, that was something.
But that was throwing off all sorts of flags with the copyright, this and that online.
Oh yeah,
So, you know, people. I think I know Travis did it, and then it got pulled 2 seconds.
He pulled. He was doing on his own match too, and then it got flagged. I remember.
Yeah. So now it's like. That whole segment is kind of gone. You know, I think they should let the people do the analysis matches.
Right.
You know? But I don't know. Maybe they can't segment it enough to.
Uh-huh.
Right. Who knows? I really don't know how.
I see.
The thing works, but.
That's too bad. Yeah.
It is too bad.
Yeah. You know? Cool. Well, we covered a lot. You know, I guess I think the lesson here is that, you know, make sure be smart about what kind of content you consume, and then try to. Consider the whole context, try to look for the things that you could learn to fit, like bring into your own system.
Yes.
And you consult with your teacher.
Consult with your teacher and then take it slow. Take it slow. I can't stress that enough. Take it slow. Really understand the mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
And
And watch.
Thank you guys for listening. Yeah, watch my
YouTube
channel.
Watch Shintaro Higashi YouTube channel. Yeah. Anything else you want to add at the before we end?
Nope, that's it, man.
Cool. All right, well, thanks for listening, guys. Stay tuned for the next episode next week, and I'll see you guys soon.